Individual names have been changed or removed from this program to protect the identity of callers.
Back with you, and again, Happy New Year to all of you from Hope for the Heart. Welcome to 2014. Isn't that great? Jim Kress here on this side of the microphone with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. We share tonight in the ministry through Christian Radio of God's truth for today's problems, not just another opinion, but indeed, again, God's truth for today's problems, whatever it is that's going on. Any night that you would like to go on the air, the talk show line is 1-800-NIGHT-17. That's 1-800-NIGHT-17, no topic of the night. It's what you want to talk about. We always make up a name for you, and then we call you back. That's how it works here. So you can join us tonight if you'd like. 1-800-NIGHT-17. Also mentioning for you tonight, if you'd like to contact us here, you can talk to the Hope Care representatives about resources. You know, there are a lot of issues that we struggle with along the way on this journey called life. Maybe for you, it's something you've never reached out and sought help or hope for. You've never even talked to a Christian counselor about, maybe talked to no one about it. It is like having June as a life coach or a counselor alongside of you by calling tonight to order some materials on a particular topic, whatever that topic might be for you, and all you have to do is call. Talk to the Hope Care representatives. Tell them a little bit about what you are struggling with. They know our resources well. They know what will be best suited for you. And I hope you'll do that tonight. 1-800-488-4673. Also mentioning for you tonight, as important as anything we'll ever talk about here on this program, the relationship that you have with God. How is that? Do you know, as June has said so many times on this program, that if you were to die tonight or die anytime soon, and you were to stand before God and he would say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would your answer be? You know, the Bible tells us that we all have sinned. We've all done things wrong. And because of that, we fall short of the glory of God. And then the Bible tells us, and it's in the book of Romans in the Bible, it says that the wages or payment for our sins, you know, you do the crime, you do the time kind of thing. Well, it's death. Life on earth ends in death, but then there's an eternal death, a separation forever from God. And that's kind of the really bad news, sobering news, but the Bible says the wages or payment for our sin is death, but the gift of God, God's gift, that's that wonderful contrast there, this but that, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So tonight, if you would believe there, this, the truth from the Bible, that you are a sinner, you say, "Yes, I know I'm a sinner. I do things wrong." And that the Bible says the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way around it. Jesus himself said over in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into the Father but by me." We've all sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory. The wages or payment for our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The scripture simply says, believe that truth, the gospel, that Jesus lived, he came, he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, all according to the scriptures. If you believe that tonight and say, "I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ," call the Hope Line right now, 800-488-HOPE. They can pray with you right there where you are. Or if you'd like, you can call tonight or pray right now. Why don't we just do that right now and say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Right now, I confess my sins to you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and my life, and save me. I put my faith and trust in you as my only way to go to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen." More questions about that, call our Hope Line tonight at 800-488-HOPE. Let's go to the phones tonight and talk to Mark.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to Hope. Hi, June. My question is, how can I develop or have a confidence in trusting God?
Wow. That's a huge, an extremely important question. Okay, so how do I develop confidence in trusting God? Tell me, what has sparked this question?
Well, I'm going through a divorce right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's trying to strip me of everything.
Mm.
And before I met her, I was, some people call it homosexual or bisexual. I would consider it more bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
But during this process of going through the divorce, it's like part of me wants to forget about women altogether and just date men.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, and that's because I'm angry with, well, I was angry with God. I'm not angry anymore because I can see the divorce as a blessing, believe it or not. But.
Now, is she divorcing you?
Yes.
Okay, and on what basis?
All she said was irreconcilable differences, no fault.
Well, that doesn't help, does it?
No.
Now, what do you think, if I'm sitting with her and say, tell me, I really want to know, what is the real reason you're divorcing him? What would she tell me?
She would tell you it was because I did not meet her needs physically, emotionally, or mentally.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that that is true in terms of, let me see if I want to say it differently. Do you believe that you tried?
I believe I tried, but I was getting ready to divorce her for the same reason, and she just beat me to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because 5 years ago she was going through menopause, so she told me she wasn't interested in being intimate because she didn't have a desire. So I didn't want to force myself on her. So I told her, when you're ready, you let me know. And for 5 years, she never let me know.
Okay. And so, therefore, you believed that those would be grounds for divorce?
Well, yes, because she wasn't meeting me. She wasn't meeting my, you know, emotional, physical needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, let's come back and talk about what constitutes even a healthy marriage, especially when one person isn't meeting the needs of the other. Can there still be a healthy marriage? Is that even possible? Well, we'll come back and talk about that.
Our Hope Line, 1-800-488-4673. As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, this special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for The Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
back on Hope of the Night Radio, 1-800-NIGHT-17. The number to go on the air, 1-800-NIGHT-17. And all you have to do is call us at that number. We'll make up a name, call you back if we can get you on the air. Any question, you say, well, if I were to sit down and talk to a biblical counselor tonight, yeah, there's something I'd like to talk about. What is that? 1-800-917. Light of Mark's call tonight. I'm going to mention some topics. Again, the materials on homosexuality, a case of mistaken identity. Also, the topic of marriage. A lot of people just kind of think, well, you just kind of do what you do in a marriage. There's not really a plan. You know, June's done an incredible body of work on this topic of marriage, helping you understand, as maybe you haven't really thought about, truly God's perfect design in marriage. Some practical helps there. You can get the materials on marriage. And, yes, that's kind of on the other end of it, isn't it? Divorce. God's truth, God's heart on the topic of divorce, whether you're facing divorce, going through one, or have been through one. These topics tonight you can call to order through this ministry, and that's at 1-800-488-4673. It's now back to the phone calls tonight, and June will pick right up with your conversation with Mark.
Well, Mark, I know that anytime there's an upheaval in the most major relationship that you have, there can be a tremendous amount of pain. There can be thoughts of doing things that normally you wouldn't do, things you would not encourage others to do. But, you know, like when you mentioned how your wife is divorcing you, and it makes you just, it's like you want to reject females because of pain. This question came into my mind. What was it like for you in terms of females when you were growing up? Like your mom, what was your relationship like with her?
I was very close to my mom.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't close to my father.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What was going on there?
He was an alcoholic, and so we would frequently get one or two beatings a week.
Wow. And so, how did you... I know you said you became bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
As you've thought about that, as you've considered that, what do you believe is the reason? Because, you know, obviously when someone is bisexual, that means they have sexual relationships with members of both genders, males and females. So how do you believe, because usually what we're talking about is how pain impacts us, how specifically a bisexual person has sexual behavior involving both males and females. So help me understand, in light of your own background, how do you believe that this came about for you?
I was molested by a priest.
Oh, okay. And?
And my sexual identity got mixed up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Over what period of time?
I was like 9.
Mm-hmm.
9 or 10 when it first happened, and it continued until I was about 16.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Did you ever report this?
Yeah, I told my parents when I was in my 20s.
And as a result, what did they do?
We sued the church.
Uh-huh. And what was the upshot of that?
Well, I won the case.
Okay, so, and by the way, it is not unusual for a victim of childhood sexual abuse, male or female, it's not unusual for them not to tell. That's typical. It's very difficult for kids, unless they have been empowered to do so, unless they were told, you need to tell if anybody tries to touch you in the area covered by your bathing suit. If anybody does anything, if it, you know, but so when you mentioned like gender confusion, that is a big contributor to, you know, because kids aren't they're not to carry that kind of pain. That's not a part of God's perfect will for you. So how did that mess with your mind in terms of even God?
I was angry with God.
Mm-hmm.
And to cope with it, I turned to sorcery to strike back at people who hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so how did that work for you?
It felt empowering because I was able to do things that the normal couldn't do.
Like what?
It's going to sound silly, but at one point I was able to move things with my mind.
Well, it is not silly. That is one of the occultic, I mean, we'll put it this way, for people who know the occult, that is one of the practices that is possible. Realizing, though, the source, because there are two sources of supernatural power. There is God's supernatural power, and then there's the enemy of God's supernatural power. And in truth, you know, it depends on what kind of power source you really want to have. And so I know that some people are not aware that is possible, but that is one of the practices, as you have indicated, through sorcery. And for how long, or have you continued with this?
I stopped it when I became a born again in 1988.
Okay.
But then about a year ago, it started out as just like little rhymes, and eventually it came into like when people retaliated against me at work,
mm-hmm.
or trying to stick up for something, I became very angry and I resorted back to that. And like one girl would come in from work, she'd come into the unit and she'd say, someone's putting a hex on me because there's too much going on. And I chuckle under my breath because it was me.
Hmm.
You know, people were getting blowouts on their cars and failing classes at school. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not proud of it. It was me. I did it. And also, I must have let Satan. Well, yeah, I let Satan in, and that's probably what destroyed my marriage as well.
So what I'm hearing is you had the ability through supernatural power, this is not God's power, but it's telekinesis, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that means that you could move objects by use of the mind.
Right.
And did you do this to show others? Did others see you do it?
No. The one time that I was really strong in that area was in high school, and I made lockers move and fall on some girl.
You did what?
A girl in the hallway kept making fun of me, uh-huh. calling me a fag.
Uh-huh.
And so I just concentrated on the lockers, and they fell on her.
Okay, lockers, yeah. Well, that wouldn't feel good, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
So, is that considered the second level?
I don't know what it's considered. The more angry and hateful I felt and became, the more it grew.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're motivated by hatred.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you became born again. Would you describe what that experience was? Born again what?
I thought it was being a born again Christian. I got water baptized and life changed, and I was really close with God. And my only desire at that time was to walk with Him.
Mm-hmm. How old were you at this time? Approximately.
I was probably 21.
Okay, and how did you get exposed to anyone? I mean, I'm hearing that, you know, in high school you were an angry kid, and, you know, by the way, to have, for that length of time, for, let's see, 7 years of your life out of 16 to be, to be sexually molested by a priest, that's a long time. And I understand having anger, because the Bible says be angry, and the issue is when there's injustice. Be angry, but do not sin. Now, you know, you had this anger just boiling powerfully on the inside. And it found expression, as you've indicated, through the occult, through sorcery. So when we come back, I want to understand, you were talking about this painful experience with this priest. Why did it quit at age 16? And what happened between age 16 and 21? Because I really care. I so want there to be the right type of order for your life, for you to have the blessing of God.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart, available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Back with you on Hope of the Night Radio at 1-800-NIGHT-17 to go on the air with us tonight, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Offering God's truth for today's problems, it's Hope of the Night. Jim Kress here with June Hunt. And tonight, again, if you'd like to order the materials we have on homosexuality, a case of mistaken identity, you certainly can order that at 800-488-HOPE. Some of you have in your story, your life story, your own journey, the tragedy of molestation, of childhood sexual abuse or victimization. We have a Heart of the Matter series on both those topics as well tonight that you can call to order. And it's a very sensitive area, so it's a great time to have someone you can trust like June to help you navigate through those. And you'll get the audio portions in the Heart of the Matter series, of course, the printed materials. And it's never too late to deal with that. It's happened a long time ago in your life. You say, I've tried to suppress that or try to not think about it. Step forward tonight. Call the Hope Line, 800-488-HOPE. And just simply say, I want to order the materials that we've talked about, either, again, childhood sexual abuse, victimization, or homosexuality. You can order those tonight at 1-800-488-HOPE. And we're going to get right back to the calls now, June. Your conversation here with Mark.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you helping me understand about your own personal life, because it does matter what our experiences are and the things that we experience from the standpoint of reaction to the pain, and not only the pain itself, but the reaction. What do we do to sometimes strike out, or how does that pain even find expression in other relationships? Now, let me ask this question. I know that you said that the sexual molestation took place from 9 to 16. At 16, and you mentioned you were born again at age 21. What took place? Why did it stop? At least that was the year you gave. I mean, that was the age you gave at 16. Why did that stop?
He told me I was too heavy for his lap.
Okay. And how did you feel about that?
I felt rejected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Even though he was doing something that was basically self-gratifying. Between the years, your ages, 16 to 21, let me ask just about him. Was he involved in anything of the occult, in the sorcery, or any of the magic, any black mass?
Of the priest?
Mm-hmm, yes.
No.
Okay. So when you were rejected, what occurred during those years from 16 to 21?
I continued in sorcery and, you know, tried to... Well, I wanted to commit suicide, but never did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I stopped the sorcery because to get to a level, you'd have to do a certain, like, incantation and stuff like that, which mm-hmm. would cause one of your parents to die.
Okay.
So at that point, I stopped it.
Hmm. And was this a, there are different rituals and different orders. Was this a self-styled group that you were in, or was this a part of a specific organized group, whether it was within like the Church of Satan or whatever? What was the structure?
Oh, it was just me.
Just you?
Just me.
Okay.
I learned all the stuff by reading.
Reading like Anton LaVey?
Hecate, books on Hecate, sorcery, and Wiccan.
Okay.
And the dark arts, the black magic.
Yes.
Books. Telekinesis, levitation. Mm-hmm. Everything I could get my hands on.
Yes. And there is a sense of power. It is supernatural power, but not from the God of the Bible. So, were you effective doing levitation?
Not as much as I'd like to. I would have liked to at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, you could practice your powers by standing in a grocery store and you focus on somebody standing in the checkout line and you would tell them to turn around and look at you and they would.
Hmm.
And mind control.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was. Mind control exercises.
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, but I renounced all that.
Yes.
And cursed it and put it under the blood and cut off all sorts of ties with it, and I've renounced every part of it. But a year ago, I got back into it because of people at work and how I felt in my marriage, and
mm-hmm.
I felt like you get more results with sorcery and quick payback than you do trusting and waiting on God. You know what I mean? It's like,
mm-hmm.
when do you get justice for when people treat you mean?
Mm-hmm. You know, like, there are a lot of people who have that very specific question. And as such, they do feel justified in getting vengeance. And so that's not an unusual desire. In fact, I will just say that there's an entire psalm of David devoted to that issue. It's Psalm 37. Psalm 37. It says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. Listen to this. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." Now, what you see throughout this psalm is there's a back and forth. You see what you should do. You know, like David has learned. He said, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." Obviously, you know, like, wait a minute. You've got a cause. Things aren't going well, but there is justice. And it goes on in verse 7. "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Listen to this. "Do not fret when men succeed," and that would be women too, "when people succeed in their ways," referring to evil ways, "when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil." And then it goes on in verse 9, "For evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." Listen to this in verse 10. "A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek," by the way, the meek are those who are willing to accept everything as being filtered through the fingers of a loving God who, no matter what the free will of someone else's, God will find a way to use this in your life for good. It says the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. And then it comes back and says, better a little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken. But the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known by the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. These are the enemies of God. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. The Lord delights in the way of the man whose steps he has made firm. And by the way, we have to allow him that ability. In other words, he won't force us to stand firm. But the Bible says, the Lord delights in the way of the man whose steps he has made firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. David said, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. They are always generous and lend freely. It goes on to say, turn from evil and do good. By the way, this is for you, my friend. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will always live securely. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. It goes on to say, the mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. See, and that's because we allow ourselves to have our minds line up. It's like lining up your thinking with God's thinking. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. By the way, the last of this particular Psalm 37, I want to encourage you to just read it on your own and go slow with it. It says, the Lord helps them. Well, I'll even go the verse before that, verse 39. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord, and he is their stronghold in times of trouble. And my friend, right now, I know you're feeling you've got a lot of trouble. You're hurting. But then it goes on to say, the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. So let's come back and talk about how do you take refuge in him? Because your question was, how do I develop confidence and trust in God? And it's a great question that deserves an honest answer. Stay with me.
Did you miss part of tonight's or some other night's Hope in the Night? Remember that these programs are available online at hopefortheheart.org.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. Then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night, Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress here with June Hunt. Thanks for listening, and it's a program about, again, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we mentioned here in Hour 1, as we wrap things up, the materials we have on the topic of homosexuality, a case of mistaken identity, a Heart of the Matter series on both the topic of childhood sexual abuse and victimization that you can call to order. These resources all are biblical, practical, and relevant, and maybe for you where you are tonight, you're saying, I can't make heads or tails or can't make sense out of why God would allow things to happen to me. Why would he allow children to be abused? Some of the traumas, maybe some of you went through yourself. We also have great materials on evil and suffering. Why? That you can order through this ministry. Take the time to chew on it, to have June walk alongside of you through these resources. They'll tell you about it, what's involved, and how you can order these resources tonight. That's at 1-800-488-HOPE, and as you hear a call on the program, you say, I need to hear that again. You can order a CD copy of every night's Hope of the Night radio broadcast, again, at 800-488-HOPE. If you'd like to follow June on Facebook, check out facebook.com/June.hunt.hope, and it's June Hunt Hope on Twitter if you'd like to follow her there. But for now, it's time to get back to the phone lines, starting off hour number two tonight, June, and your conversation here with Mark.
Well, my friend, do you have any idea why I wanted to read to you Psalm 37?
Yes.
What do you think?
I think to show me that God has my back.
That's a good way to say it. You know, sometimes I think of people who hurt other people, and I see it, and you know, having experienced those times when I thought, oh, how could somebody be this way? Why would they treat somebody that, you know? And it'd be, sometimes it'd be me or some precious family member, and where another family member would be hurting, you know, and hurting somebody else, and you know, you just sit there and you think, ugh. How can they do this? Well, I don't know of anybody who has omniscience except for God. And he knows why certain people do vile things, how some are bullies. In fact, just today I've been writing and preparing some material on bullying, because I'm going to be teaching on bullying. And, you know, bullies typically have been bullied, and so, I mean it's classic. So in order to keep themselves from being hurt, they turn around and seek to hurt others. Now, I heard a little bit about that from you, because You were deeply hurt, not only by your dad. You said he was an alcoholic. There were beatings. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you started out as a little kid being hurt, didn't you?
Yeah. ended.
And then it didn't stop there. There were other kinds of hurt. And it's a real, a lot of people who have been violated by a spiritual leader, they can easily attach that as though God is the perpetrator. I mean, they know God literally wasn't the perpetrator, but they feel that way. And you said you were angry with God.
Yes. For the last month, I've been very angry with God. I stopped going to church and I started going to gay bars. Because I wanted him to hurt the way I hurt.
Well, how do you think that's going to work for you in the end?
It's not.
Yeah, it's not going to work. You find that you're hurting yourself. It's, you know, there's no right way to do a wrong act. There just is not a right way to do a wrong act. See, I hear that in the midst of your pain, and you've had successive types of pain. I mean, meaning you've had this kind here, and then another kind here, and then followed by another, still another kind there. And the key is going to be, instead of letting emotion control me, I've got to learn to be in control and let God take control of me so that I am not committing emotional suicide. Or else you will be controlled and then the perpetrators win. Do you understand that that's letting perpetrators win? And that is totally unacceptable because God loves you too much for that.
The internet, radio, webcasts, podcasts, video, Facebook, Twitter. Our world of media is ever-changing, sometimes so fast we can barely keep up. And Hope for the Heart is changing too. The Hope for the Heart website is your connection to the vast resources and ministry materials from June Hunt. Even now, there's so little time to inform you of the many ways our website can become a primary resource for your personal life or ministry. But an example would include audio CDs and downloads, books, our counseling keys on 100 topics, information on live events and video webcasts, links to our social media sites, and our care center phone lines where you can find help and hope. Available 24/7, the Hope for the Heart website can become your primary resource for help, hope, and personal ministry. HopeForTheHeart.org.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
with you on Hope of the Night Radio at 1-800-NIGHT-17. If you'd like to go on the air, 1-800-NIGHT-17. Jim Kress with June Hunt, and just a really powerful conversation going on tonight with June and with Mark. We'll get right back to it in just a moment. Some of you know your own story, and it may be a story that you've never shared with anyone. The story of being victimized at any level a long time ago. There was childhood sexual abuse in your life. You know, maybe you married someone, and you didn't even know that happened, and you begin to see some of the problems, some of the aftermath, kind of a post-trauma aftermath that can come out with a lot of married couples. And lo and behold, it was largely because of the aftermath or impact of being victimized or having childhood sexual abuse back there. And you say, yeah, I'm married to someone like that. What do I do? You can start tonight by, even if that's not your story, that you had abuse in your past, but your spouse did, call and get this material and let June really educate you about that, how that you might be able to just to walk alongside, be present with your spouse, because it can be awfully confusing. Those are the topics: victimization, childhood sexual abuse, homosexuality, a case of mistaken identity. And these are not things that you just grab and listen to tonight and you're all fixed. You might listen to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times over and over. Read the materials. Listen to June's discussions, her teaching. They'll tell you about it tonight at 800-488-HOPE. There really is hope for your heart. And I hope you'll call and invest in your life or the life of someone else with these resources. 1-800-488-4673. For now, though, we're going to get back to the phones and, June, your conversation with Mark.
Well, Mark, do you care at all what God says?
Do I care at all for what?
Do you care at all for what God says? Do you care about
what God thinks?
Yeah, what God thinks.
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's huge. See, because we've got to determine a starting point for us all, meaning, what's going to be the foundation of our lives? Because that's what we build on. And we've been told that there are those who build their house on sand and it crumbles. The walls crack. But then if we build the house on the rock, all right, that then it's solid. And I say that because there's a point at which at times we can lash out because we don't know any better. I mean, I honestly can remember easily. I mean, I had no concept that there were certain things that were wrong. I didn't know that astrology was wrong. And from God's point of view, I mean, I had no knowledge of any scripture. But then later, after beginning to see what the Bible actually said, I was very surprised. For example, Deuteronomy 18, it's a very strong admonition. It's a strong warning. Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist or consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Well, you know, at the beginning, what I hear is, you know, you after the abuse by the priest, you were angry with God. You turned to sorcery. You know, you didn't have the presence of Christ in you. I don't think you knew hardly anything about authentic Christianity. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. So you did these things, and you did see there was power. And I know there can be power. The thing is, did you ever learn, did you ever hear any of the scriptures that actually forbid these kinds of practices? Did you eventually hear about them?
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought so because you told me that there had actually been a renunciation.
Yes.
And that means where there had been control of you by the sources of darkness, the enemy of God, there was a point at which, am I understanding that you became free?
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of like you were those, you were like one of those described in Acts. In Acts 19:19, it says, a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and they burned them publicly. They renounced them. And they were set free. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you have that feeling of freedom as a result of a time of coming to Christ?
Yes.
Okay. So, what I would say is, initially when you got into that, you didn't know any better. You really didn't. I mean, I get it. I understand. The problem is when then you have been set free and you start growing, and I heard that there was a time when you said you desired to walk with the Lord. And now, do you believe that you had humbled your heart and you actually received Jesus as Lord and Savior, actually giving him control of your life? Or was that just something you wanted to do?
I believe I did. And then a few years into it, I ended up with a guy in church, and that just brought me totally down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what, I know that you said that brought you totally down, and then what happened after that?
I felt I couldn't overcome, you know, wanting men. So I started dating men again, and then I felt awful about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to get my life back with Christ, and then I met my wife. And 18 years, I was doing good, but always struggled with homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was afraid of being intimate with her because of issues with the priest. And she knew that. And, like, her response would be, like, well, you're a Christian. God should be able to set you free from that. You should be able to get over that. So she didn't want me to go for counseling with that. And then we stopped being intimate because she was going through menopause and everything. And now she accused me of sleeping with a construction worker, and now I'm going through a divorce, which is fine with me because I became anorexic and everything. So I was 101 pounds. Mm-hmm. Now I'm 130 and I'm weightlifting and...
Mm-hmm.
But now I got mad with God and went to the gay bars. I didn't pick up anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I went there because they all accept you, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody was talking to me like they knew me forever, and I felt accepted there. But I know in my heart God doesn't want me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having just a hard time trusting him. Like, I saw my wife for the first time since March yesterday at the lawyer's office, and she just wants to totally destroy me.
Hmm.
And I could sense the spirit that was in her and I could see it looking at me right through her eyes. And she's sitting there telling me that God gave her the go-ahead to divorce me. And I'm like looking at her, saying that is not the God I know.
Yes. You know, it's interesting that you say that, because just yesterday someone was saying that to me, that unfortunately a lot of people will just throw out, oh, God has told me I can do this, but they don't have biblical grounds to do that.
She said because I looked at porn because she wasn't being intimate with me, that God told her it was grounds for divorce, because in my heart I committed adultery.
Yes, I've heard people say that. I think the issue is healing. It's just like you need healing, she needs healing. Both of you need healing. And this doesn't help either of you, because I'm hearing that you actually, you're already knowing that, you know, cruising, going to gay bars, that's not going to meet the deepest need of your heart.
No, I know Jesus well.
Yes.
If I could just trust him.
Okay.
Plus, he makes it hard for me. I went to a gay bar, and some total stranger walks up to me and says, I can see this ray of light around you.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that's wonderful. Now go away. So,
yeah.
But it was like I knew that was the guy could see something.
Well,
the light of God.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thinking about, isn't it interesting that the Bible does not present people who are spiritual leaders who are perfect? In fact, you see David, in fact, one of the most beloved people in the Bible, people who, they so respond to David. And yet he's the one who committed adultery. So here he had sexually justified and even caused another man's wife to be literally lured to him, brought to him, and then he makes sure that that man is killed. The fact is, David didn't stay there. And he said in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. He said, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. But he ends up saying, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And he talks about restoring. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. So let's talk about how David did it.
As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, this special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for The Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
Back with you on Hope of the Night Radio. Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. And materials tonight in light of Mark's call, a Heart of the Matter series on homosexuality, a case of mistaken identity. Also, the materials on victimization and childhood sexual abuse. Those are Heart of the Matter series on all three of those topics tonight. And be like having June as a life coach or a counselor alongside of you. You can order these resources for yourself or to help you help someone else. Check them out tonight at 1-800-488-HOPE. It's a toll-free call for you. 1-800-488-4673. June's Facebook page, facebook.com/June.hunt.hope. Go post something there soon. All right, back to the phones, June, and you're talking here tonight with Mark.
Well, Mark, you know, what I'm hearing is this. Bad things happened for you as a kid. Your dad beating you, alcoholic, that means you're not given value. Anyone who has a parent who is an alcoholic means that alcohol is prioritized, not the people that are supposed to be loved the most. The focus of attention is instead on my life is alcohol. That's how his mind was. And so that means that left a void in your heart. Here you are then later abused by a spiritual leader. And so you later get into, after that, you get into sorcery. Again, you had no knowledge of true, authentic salvation, and you felt empowered. You know, that gives you a sense of power. And yet, it's a false sense of significance because it's not going to last forever. And God created you with three inner needs for love, significance, and security. Love, significance, and security. Every person has that need. Well, the occult appeals to that sense of significance. It makes you feel like you have power, because the truth is there is supernatural power that can be achieved with the occult, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you have some holes in your heart, not by your design, but you don't feel significant, and you've been used instead of treated with love, you've been used sexually. And that feels horrible. So it's like, and I hate those things that happened to you. Now, you said that there was a true time of coming to Christ. Is that correct? I mean, you really gave your life to Christ? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said for a while, I mean, that really met a need. Now, the problem is this. After a period of time, if we're really growing, we can, as free agents, as people with free will, we can choose to go against God's will. And by the way, I've done that. I know that. I mean, I know about that. And the fact is, everybody's done that after becoming a Christian. The problem is this. Listen to me carefully. You know too much. Now, it's not like doing stuff that you didn't know about. You had no idea. Now you know what God says don't do. And if you go against God, you know that you're not going to have the peace of God. If you're choosing to do what is out of the will of God, you can't have the peace of God, can you?
No.
And yet, I'm hearing that you want deep fulfillment, not just surface stuff.
Right.
So, there's got to be a decision that you make. Because listen to me carefully, life is a series of choices. life is a series of choices. And the more you get in the habit of choosing right, the more you break the habit of doing what's wrong. It is natural, if you've been in the habit of going, let's say, to gay bars for a number of years, well, it's natural to feel odd or avoid not doing it. So what I'm saying is there are times when we can have habits that we get into, and it's just by pure repetition. And so one way we break a bad habit is to form the right habit, the good habit. And you do it again and again and again, and eventually the bad habit dissipates, and you don't dwell on it. There are multiple ways to deal with it, but the issue is coddling it, fantasizing about it, embracing it in your heart. All you're going to do is want to literally do the very thing that's going to keep you from having that inner peace, that peace that actually we're told we can have a peace that passes all understanding. So I'm hearing that in two areas in particular, the occult, you kind of picked up some of the stuff of the past. By the way, I'll tell you what that's called. In the Bible, in certain translations of the Bible, we read that we can walk in the flesh, not in the spirit. All that means is I'm going to live life out of my own resources instead of out of God's resources. I'm going to do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. And this is what we typically can find ourselves doing. We can have a pattern of the past, whether it's same-sex sexual relationships, whether, you know, just, you know, and you know, dwelling on it, obsessing, or whether it's the occult, whatever it is. It actually could be any number of things. Now, the thing is, when a person comes to Christ, what is typical is they feel clean. They have the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Did I hear that you experienced that for a period of time?
Yes.
Okay. So you know the joy of that.
How do you get it back?
Okay. It's a great question. You see, what happens is if we start doing things that are not according to God's will, that's what we call walking in the flesh again. Again, living out of our own resources, trying to get our own needs met our way, not God's way. And then it doesn't mean that a person loses their salvation. It means, though, that they don't have peace with God anymore. And they don't feel that closeness. And I remember you saying that you desired, you know, to walk with God. I mean, that was, you had a total change of focus. Well, what it means is you need to turn around. Repentance is you're headed one direction. I don't know if you know what it's like to ever be on a wrong road. And you don't even know you're on the wrong road. And then later, you know, you're driving, and all of a sudden it's like, what happened? And on a rare occasion, I've done that. And I'm really, really good with directions. But that doesn't feel good. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay, what do you do? Do you just keep going the wrong direction?
Then I turn around.
Yeah. That's the word repentance. It's turning. It's a choice you make. You're headed one direction. Now you're going to literally turn. Because if you don't turn, you're going to go where you actually don't want to go. So you've got to start making choices. And the choices are going to be a lot of the things you already know. And that is, whenever you're tempted to do anything that has to do with the occult, you say, I refuse. I will not. I will not pick that back up again. But see, that's the natural default. Whatever it is that we did before becoming Christians, for most people, what it is that's the default. It's easy to default to that because that's what was familiar. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. That's what was familiar. And God knows that. Listen, He knows exactly what's happened. He knows you're hurting. And the Bible says that His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. So it's not like He's just some remote super being who just says, well, we'll just see what He does. No. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. So, what He says is we need, I like to think of the term go to war. We go to war for this in the right way. Now, I will tell you, there's a fascinating, I'm gonna give this to you to say, all right, I want you to really read this. Do you have a pen or paper there or anything like that?
Yes.
Okay. If we just write down Lamb, L-A-M, as in Lamentations. Lamb 3, verse 19. Through a bunch of verses. Listen to this. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. See, I think that's kind of where you are. Now, you don't stop there. Yes, your soul's been downcast. Your mind, will, and emotions, and you even wanted to die. Okay. Yet, verse 21, yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope, because my friend, you need hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I said to myself, the Lord is my portion. Not doing this over here, not gay bars, all this other stuff. The Lord Himself, He is my portion. He's the whole plate of food. And it says, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. We're going to come back and I'm going to show you something.
Hey Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart. Available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Back with you on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress here with June Hunt. Thank you for listening. Get any night you want to go on the air, 800-917. And tonight, again, materials we've talked about on homosexuality, victimization, and childhood sexual abuse. Heart of the Matter series on those you can call to order tonight at 1-800-488-4673. Just a few of the many, many topics we have at this ministry. We certainly will have something that's going to be applicable to your current life situation. All you have to do is contact us here tonight. Talk to the Hope Care representatives, and if you're unsure what it is that you would need to order resource-wise, just talk to them. Tell them what's going on in your life. They know what will be best suited for you. 800-488-4673. For now, though, back to the phone lines. Continuing, June, with your conversation here tonight with Mark.
Well, my friend, I believe there's one other passage I'm going to share with you from Lamentations, and then I'm going to talk about actual solutions. And this is to encourage you. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, verse 32, though he brings grief, that's talking about God, he will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. So he's not wanting. There's no delight here that he has in your suffering. But at times he can bring grief. Why? To make us miserable in what we're doing wrong, so that we'll be confirmed that this is not going to work. This is not what we need to do. In fact, at times I have even prayed for me, may I be miserable. Catch me if I'm doing wrong. Do whatever's necessary. I prayed this for me. Catch me. Don't let me get away with what is wrong. Don't let me choose stuff that I know. And by the way, and I have chosen wrong. So that's why I know it doesn't work. So when you say, what do I do? I will tell you a prayer that I literally prayed that I want you to consider writing down, okay?
Okay.
It's, Lord Jesus, may I see my sin as you see it. May I hate my sin as you hate it. Because let me tell you something. There's a time when I did not hate sin. I didn't hate specific sin. Oh, I hated it if somebody was doing something against me. But if I was doing something, I just didn't want to see it. Because at the time, it seemed to satisfy. At the time, it seemed to satisfy. But do you want the blessing of God on your life?
Yes.
Great. Wonderful. If you want the blessing of God on your life, then you've got to be in the will of God in your life. If you want the blessing of God, then you've got to be in the will of God. And I want you to have the blessing of God. Now, that means what you're going to do, because you're saying, what can I do? I think my opinion is, you, since you know what it's like to have renounced anything in the occult, what if we just write down what in the occult, since you turned away from what you knew to be true, mention, if you'd like, we can mention the things that you've done, and we'll renounce that in your life by virtue of, this is just called spiritual warfare. And then my desire for you would be for you to have a godly man who can counsel you. And I'm talking about someone who is wise, because the Bible says he who walks with the wise grows wise. Because there are a lot of issues that you need to, I think, have someone who is close to God. The Bible actually talks about there's a friend that sits closer than a brother. The Bible, but I'm talking about like someone who knows the counsel of God, a counselor. The Bible says that there's wisdom in many counselors, and you have good questions because I'm hearing good questions come from you. But I think you need practical answers as to how to navigate these turbulent waters and how to chart your course. What do you think?
Yes.
Do you know a place to go where you get Christian counseling?
Yes.
Okay. Because the Bible says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. So there are times when we need someone else. There are times when I need someone else. Not just you, me. We all. And that's the instruction. That's the encouragement that God gives us. And so what you're going to say is, Lord, may I see my sin as I see it? May I see my sin as you see it? May I hate my sin as you hate it? I'm asking for a wise counselor who can help me navigate, because that is going to be huge. And then it's renouncing the things that you already know are not going to work. Those practices, they may have a feel good for the moment, but you've already told me you want the blessing of God on your life.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, you can't choose wrong and then expect it to be right. And so you already know that. I'm not telling you something you don't know. You've mentioned that you turned for a while to back to you said sorcery, correct?
Yes.
What else besides sorcery?
I started going back to the gay bars.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else that we need to deal with? Like, for example, with the occult?
No, I a year ago when I got back into it, I renounced that again, and I wanted to use sorcery against my wife through this divorce, but I'm afraid God won't help me with the divorce if I do that, so I haven't resorted back to sorcery.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. You won't receive the help of God, even if there was power against your wife. You know, when you think about it, what does she need? She needs a changed life, doesn't she?
She needs to be touched by Jesus.
Yeah. She needs a changed life through Christ. The best thing you can do is to pray for her.
I have been doing that.
Good for you. Good for you.
And I forgive her.
Okay.
And I've been trying to pray like David prayed, that God help me not to commit willful sin.
Yes.
Because I want to do what's right with God.
Good. Yes.
I want to be in love with him again.
Okay. Well, when you have that turning and you see you rejected going then back to full-fledged into the sorcery to hurt your wife, you know, the best thing of all for your wife is that she change. to be all that God created her to be, and then likewise for you to be all that God created you to be, and that's just got to be, you know, it's kind of like having, have you ever seen a horse that has blinders on?
Yes.
That's how we've got to be. There are times when we have to willfully choose to say, I'm not going to turn to the right, I'm not going to turn to the left, I'm going to have, in fact, the Bible says God's love constrains us. It's like having blinders on instead of choosing to have a focus where it shouldn't be. The problem is our hearts will go there. See, because if you allow in your mind, your thinking to go that direction, like the gay bars, then emotion follows thinking. Emotion follows thinking. So you can do something out of curiosity, but if it's not in the will of God, then after a while, you emotionally get hooked.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to go there again, do you?
No, I don't. I haven't been there.
Okay. So let's, I want you to just pray after me. God, you know my heart.
God, you know my heart.
I really want to have a pure heart before you.
I really want to have a pure heart before you.
I want to feel the love of Jesus.
I want to feel the love of Jesus.
I want to return back to where I once was.
I want to return back to where I once was.
I'm hurting right now.
I'm hurting right now.
I don't want to hurt other people.
I don't want to hurt other people.
Purify my heart, Lord Jesus.
Purify my heart, Lord Jesus.
I'm going to pray for my wife that she would have a changed life.
I'm going to pray for my wife that she's going to have a changed life.
Every time I think of her, I'm going to pray for her to come to know Jesus.
Every time I think of her, I'm going to pray for her to come to know Jesus.
In a real way.
In a real way.
In a personal way.
In a personal way.
And for her to be made whole.
And for her to be made whole.
Lord, I reject all aspects of the occult.
Lord, I reject all aspects of the occult.
Through the power of the Spirit of God.
Through the power of the Spirit of God.
Because I am a child of God.
Because I am a child of God.
Bought by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Bought by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Because he was willing to save me.
Because he was willing to save me.
That is my testimony.
That is my testimony.
I have Christ living in me.
I have Christ living in me.
To be the power source for me.
To be the power source for me.
The power source for change.
The power source for change.
For permanent change.
A permanent change.
I yield my will to your will.
I yield my will to your will.
Put blinders around my eyes.
Put blinders around my eyes.
So that I will look straight ahead.
So I will look straight ahead.
And I renounce anything that is not of you, Lord Jesus.
And I renounce everything that is not of you, Lord Jesus.
Take my heart and purify it.
Take my heart and purify it.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
How are you feeling, my friend?
Very good.
Okay. All right. We're going to help you.